From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, March 5th, 2018. And on this day, we'll try to tease out what today's certification of a people's veto effort to repeal the laws that would repeal ranked choice voting means. And we'll look at why more Mainers are thinking about going off the grid. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
The Secretary of State announced today that the People's Veto campaign to overturn a law that would eventually repeal Maine's ranked choice voting system has qualified for the June ballot. Now, there have been a lot of twists and turns in this story since voters approved ranked choice in 2016. Political correspondent Steve Missler's here to help us understand this new development and how it will affect the June primary and the November election. Steve, let's start with today's news, which, if I understand, means that people who vote in the June primary election will not only be deciding the future of ranked choice voting, they'll also be using it for the first time. Is that right?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's basically they'll be testing the law for the very first time. This is a landmark law, first in the nation law for ranked choice voting. They'll be testing it, and they'll also be determining whether or not they want to keep it. And of course, the state election officials will have to get the ranked choice voting system up and running before June 12th, which is not going to be a small feat, and they're going to need about $1 million potentially to do that. But it might be helpful to explain how we got here, right? So voters approved the ranked choice voting overhaul in 2016 for all statewide races, gubernatorial, congressional, and legislative. But shortly thereafter, the Maine Supreme Judicial Court said that part of the law is unconstitutional, part of it meaning gubernatorial contests that take place in November. The Constitution says governors need to be selected by a plurality of voters or the most votes, whereas ranked choice voting is designed to that the winner gets a majority. Now, the ruling provided the political cover to ignore the law and eventually repeal it, which is essentially what the legislature did in the fall, and that's what the people's veto seeks to overturn.
Okay, so the legislature enacts this law that delays implementation of ranked choice and then repeals it by 2021. But doesn't the law also say something about a constitutional amendment that would address the Supreme Court's concerns?
Yeah, it does. It basically gives future legislatures the opportunity to pass a constitutional amendment that would bring ranked choice voting into full constitutional compliance. Such an amendment would need to be ratified by voters. That's the way we amend the Maine Constitution. But there's never been enough votes in the legislature to pass a constitutional amendment for ranked choice voting. That's partially why the legislature passed this law that would repeal the system eventually. And another reason is that there are just some people who just lawmakers who just don't want ranked choice voting to replace the current plurality system that we have.
So in June, voters will be deciding if they want to overturn this law that repeals ranked choice. If they do that, does that then mean voters who vote in November will be using ranked choice to elect the state's next governor?
No, they will be using to elect three of Maine's congressional delegation that includes the seat currently held by U.S. Senator Angus King, and the House seats held by Democrat Shelley Pingree and Republican Bruce Poliquin. The RCV system won't be implemented for legislative or governor's races. So if Maine used ranked choice voting in either of those races, the results would almost certainly get challenged in court, and that would create a huge mess. We wouldn't know who won. It would be largely left to the courts, and nobody wants that to happen, including advocates for ranked choice voting. They just want a constitutional amendment at some point so that the entire system that voters approved would be put in place.
So does this mean we might be using two different kinds of voting in November?
Yeah, so if the people's veto passes in June, yes, we will have two types of systems in place in November, one for the congressional races, one that would be ranked choice, and then the other for gubernatorial and legislative races, which would be the system that we have right now, the plurality-based system. If it doesn't, then the repeal and delayed implementation law that's on the books now that the people's veto seeks to overturn will stand.
I guess we'll see. Okay, Steve, thank you for the breakdown.
Happy to do it.
Also today, Maine Secretary of State certified the Citizens Initiative effort that would establish a new tax to support home care services in Maine. Matt Dunlap's office says proponents of that legislation submitted slightly fewer than 65,000 valid signatures. The minimum is just over 61,000. Maine legislators will now consider the initiative, and they can choose to enact it as it's written or to send it forward to a statewide vote on the November ballot. Many people dream about living off the grid. Some people want to leave smaller carbon energy footprints or avoid the cost of running utility lines hundreds of feet to an off-the-beaten-path home site. But some solar panel installers say they're seeing another motivation more these days, frustration. They say they're getting an increasing number of calls from homeowners who've had it with lengthy and repeated power outages. A.J. Higgins has our story.
Another week and another nor'easter is bearing down on Maine, prompting thousands of families to restock essential supplies, get out the snow shovels, and monitor the forecast.
Computer models pretty locked into this storm system Wednesday night and into Thursday, but there are differences in the magnitude of the storm. So by Wednesday night, it's ripping pretty good across most...
In an era of climate change, weather forecasts often call for more intense storms. Those can translate to high winds, and if the winds are accompanied by freezing rain, the combination can equate to prolonged power outages. But new advances in solar electric panels and price drops for off-the-grid energy systems are prompting more Mainers to consider cutting the cord to the local power company in favor of a more independent lifestyle. Chuck Piper says phone calls to his Sundog Solar Installation Company in Searsport increase with every major power outage.
They've tripled since we went into business. You know, people are finding out that we offer the service, and we're getting calls from all over the state. So as more and more people find out about us and the fact that we do support this type of a system, we're getting more calls.
Piper works with customers to develop year-round power systems that cost about $12,000 to start and top out at $40,000 or more, depending on the homeowner's needs. Using solar panels, a battery energy storage system, power meters, charge controllers, and a backup generator, an off-the-grid system allows homeowners to call up their power when they need it. Piper's son and business partner, Danny, says customers like having control over the electricity that powers their lives. He says that was never more evident than after the so-called bomb cyclone hit Maine last October, leaving more than a half million people in the dark.
Right after the big storm we had in the fall, we got a whole bunch of calls for people that wanted, you know, battery-based backup. You know, so yeah, there's a huge drive for it, and people want independence and they want security. And, you know, these systems allow you to have a lot more control of what's happening with your electricity. You aren't dependent on that line that's feeding to you, and when that line goes down, you're not getting fed anymore.
And that means that when bad weather power outages strike, off-the-grid homeowners such as John Hike of Prospect don't have to listen or wait for this. That's the sound of a tree crew removing branches from a down power line. Instead, the lights stay on, and if Hike really wants to hear the sound of power, he can walk downstairs to the basement where his power inverters change the battery-based direct current electricity into alternating current.
And this is the inverter that's inverting 24 volts DC to 110 AC.
Hike is something of an off-the-grid pioneer. He purchased his first solar panels back in 1980 when he was building a home for himself on Hegan Mountain in Prospect. His house is about 8,000 feet away from the closest power line, and Hike says he didn't want to pay the cost of running power poles across his property, so he chose solar panels out of necessity. Over the years, his system has evolved. Recent upgrades allow him to enjoy all the normal comforts of home, freezers, radiant heat flooring, and television, just like his grid-connected neighbors. At first, he says he worried that his lack of knowledge about electricity would be a challenge.
I'm not a real electrically
a competent person. And I've always, in the back of my mind, had this problem about, well, what if things aren't working properly? But I got to tell you, it seems to work properly all the time. There isn't much that can go wrong. As a matter of fact, nothing's gone wrong here. In all these years, it's all just run.
41 miles away, John Garrity is enjoying a new off-the-grid home that he constructed in Palermo. Like Hike, Garrity says he was facing prohibitive costs to run power to his property. And, like Hike, Garrity says he's been surprised at the lack of maintenance that the system requires.
You know, but the only thing I do is every 7 weeks or so, I check out the batteries and have to put in some distilled water. That takes me maybe 20, 25 minutes to do, and it's good to go.
Although the number of actual off-the-grid homes in Maine is difficult for solar installers to quantify, installation inquiries continue to spike with every new storm report. And in the aftermath of those storms, the two-word question homeowners like Hike and Garrity say they never have to answer is, got power? For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, March 5th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.